Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. We've got the usual crew here with you, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, and myself, Chris Parks. We want to thank Rush CPA & Associates and Fairway for bringing you Who's Gonna Win here throughout the 2020 campaign. Start off by taking a look back how we did here in week number two before we get into our week three picks, and let's run that down for you. Last week, we had a couple eight-man games, and it was the Cam Cougars picking up a 48-8 win at home over Bedford. That was a winner for all of us. We all had that one right. Also, Audubon, 49-6, a home win over Arweva. We all had the Wheelers there. In 11-man play, it was Logan Magnolia pulling off a bit of an shocker upset, 28-7 over St. Albert, and that was a winner just for Jim. He got that limb pick there, so that helped him on his way to a great week here. HSTW, 39-6 over Missouri Valley. We all had the Vikings in that one. Underwood put up big numbers, 41-8 over Tri-Center. We all had the Eagles there, and that was a good thing. ACGC, also a big win, 43-7 over Central Decatur. That was a winner for everybody except Matt. He went out on a limb there with Central Decatur and came crashing down. Glenwood picked up a 37-0 win at home over Trainer. We all had the Rams. And Atlantic went on the road and beat Kemper Catholic 21-10. That was our broadcast game. We all had the Trojans. All got that one right. So it was a perfect 8-0 week for Jim last week. Also, 7-1 for both Doug and myself, and then Matt was at 6-2 last week, so the overall standings have Doug and Jim tied at the top with 13-3 records here so far, 12-4 for Matt, and I'm still bringing up rear here with 11-5 on this 2020 campaign. So that's how we did last week. We will take a break and come back and get you into week number three right after this.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Hey Nick, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Becky, this week we have Mr. Dell's hash browns, $1.77 each, Fairway butter, $2.48 each, and Honeycrisp apples, $1.48 a pound. Over in the meat department, we have boneless skinless chicken breasts for $1.99 a pound, USDA Choice shoulder tenders, $5.99 a pound, and boneless butterfly pork chops, $1.99 a pound. See all the details and more great deals in this week's ad. And as always, thank you for shopping your Atlantic Fairway.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's dive into our week three picks. We've just got one eight-man game on the sheet for you here this week as the Exira EHK Spartans will be at home once again. They started the season 0-2. They'll take on an 0-2 Glidden-Ralston teams. Could be a competitive contest, and we're going to let our perfect picker last week, Mr. Jim, take over and start it off here in the program.
All right. Well, I could lead you down the wrong path right out of the gate. That's perfect. I don't honestly know what to think about this because it's hard to find statistics for either one of these teams out there anywhere. I wrote one word down, and I wrote it after Exira EHK. It says pride, and they've struggled so far this year. They're outnumbered almost every night that they show up. They've had a couple of key injuries early on that have affected them in some of the games. But at the end of the day, Exira EHK, having the results they've had the first 2 weeks of the season, is very, very not like Exira EHK. And I think this is a week where they bounce back and pick up a win. So I'm taking the Spartans.
All right. One for the Spartans right out of the gate here. Doug.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go the other way. I like the fact that Glenn Ralston's been able to generate a little bit of offense. Had some success moving the ball, it appears, at least scoring a little bit. I think the Spartans have really struggled to get their offense running. They're definitely tough at home. I'll be rooting for the Spartans, but I think Glidden-Ralston's going to take the victory.
All right. It's one there for Glidden-Ralston. Matt?
Yeah, I think Doug's kind of right there. They've been able to generate some offense. I think Exira EHK, you're going to probably see a little bit of change in their offense a little bit this week. As far as what they do personnel-wise. And, excuse me, but I think that at the end of the day, that's going to take a little bit of adjustment still for the group. So I'm going to go with Glidden-Ralston on the road for this one.
All right. It's going to be two there for GR. Yeah, this is a tough one to figure out. I know Exira EHK has got a couple of decent players to lead the way with the Peterson kids. I know Tyler looked like didn't play last week. Got a little banged up in that opening game last week against – or opening game against Audubon. And Trey was kind of running the quarterback spot last week for him. They hung tough in that game for a long time against Coon Rapids Bear. The final score really doesn't indicate how that one was played out. It was pretty close up until about midway through the third quarter, and then it got away from them. So I was a little bit surprised that they were able to hang that tight and that tough. You mentioned Glenn Ralston has put up some better numbers offensively. They lost a tough one to West Harrison last week. I'm kind of with Jim here. I think that Exira EHK, this is one that they see as a potential to try to get one in the win column here this week, and a little bit of that Spartan pride up on the hill. So I'm going to go with the Spartans to take Exira EHK. So we'll split that one up two apiece. Start off now moving into 11-man play in a game out of Class A District 9. We've got three games out of this district here to lead off. It should be an interesting district the way it shakes out. HSTW is taking on Southwest Valley on the road. Vikings are at 1-1. Southwest Valley started off the season 3-0. They had a week zero game over Nottoway Valley. Doug, who do you like?
Well, this is going to be a good game. I like what HSTW's been doing, getting their offense going. Had some good quarterback play from Blake Holst. And then, you know, you've got a Pauly running the ball back there. So that's obviously a good thing for the Vikings. But I think Southwest Valley maybe just a little bit more talented maybe. They've had a couple close games on their schedule so far. I like the – are they the Wolves?
Timberwolves.
Timberwolves. I'm going to take the Timberwolves.
All right. It's going to be one there for the home team. Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to take Southwest Valley as well this week with this game. I think they had a nice couple of wins there that were close. Like Doug said, that Nottoway Valley, they're a respectable team. I think we saw them. They competed well against Mount Air here last week. So I'm going to go with the Timberwolves as well at home.
All right, a couple there for Southwest Valley. Yeah, HSTW has started to get things going a little bit. You mentioned both the two stars there on offense. Raiden Groby, also a good target there in the pass game, if they can get him going. Hasn't scored yet this year, but it's put up some decent yardage numbers. Brandon Knapp on the other side for Southwest Valley has been efficient at quarterback. They're not putting up, you know, huge numbers there. And across the board, you look at their offense, they're really not going to jump off the page at you. Blaine Vantiger is kind of their go-to speedster guy out there. He can do a little bit in the run game and the pass game as a receiver. So they'll be a tough team at home. But I like the way HSTW bounced back last week, and I think it's one of those deals where they just kind of didn't get off on the right foot in that opening week. So I'm going to give the Vikings a chance to go on the road and pick one up here. I'm going to go with HSTW. Jim.
Well, I'm struggling a little bit here. I'm feeling a little woozy.
Uh-oh.
It's called old age.
No, it's called Matt's using a Sharpie, and it's just blowing me away in this room. Will you put the cap on that Sharpie?
I'm sorry.
Probably marking up the table, too.
No, I've been
studio's
checking.
You know what I'm talking about.
Program's going to get a little giggly at the end.
I mean,
end
boy,
here,
you can get something going there with that Sharpie. As far as the game goes, you know, similar rushing numbers for the two teams. I think the passing game actually favors the Vikings, but here's the caveat. That's if they have enough time to throw. I don't know if you look far enough down on the statistics sheet, but Southwest Valley is averaging 11 tackles for loss per game so far this year. They've got 33 in three games. That's pretty good. In fact, that's incredible. It's just a matter of whether or not they have the time to throw. Southwest Valley's had a few nice seasons here lately. They've seemed to be merging those programs together now and finally kind of getting their stride here these last few years. If this game were in Avoca, I'd be all over the Vikings, but I'm just afraid there's too much disruption with Southwest Valley's defense for AHSTW to really get established with the passing game. So I'm going to go with Southwest Valley in a close one at home.
All right. I got a limb pick there with the Vikings. That's our first couple of games here for this week's sheet. We'll take a break, come back and look at four more contests here in just a moment.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, certified public accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Nick, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Becky, this week we have Mr. Dell's hash browns, $1.77 each, fairway butter, $2.48 each, and Honeycrisp apples, $1.48 a pound. Over in the meat department, we have boneless skinless chicken breasts for $1.99 a pound, USDA Choice shoulder tenders, $5.99 a pound, and boneless butterfly pork chops, $1.99 a pound. See all the details and more great deals in this week's ad. And as always, thank you for shopping your Atlantic Fairway.
Welcome back now to Who's Gonna Win here on KJN. We'll stay in Class A District 9 for a couple more, and one of those would be the Tri-Center Trojans looking to try to bounce back after getting thumped by Underwood last week, as they'll go on the road all the way down south to take on the Sydney Cowboys. And Matt, you get first crack here at this one.
Okay. Well, Tri-Center, yeah, they ran into a buzzsaw there last week. Underwood Eagles came into town there, and they didn't fare so well. But I see a bounce back for Tri-Center this week. They still have some good athletes in there. They can move the ball fairly well, which they did show some signs even last week against Underwood's stomped defense there. But, yeah, I think going on the road here would be a little test for them, but I'm still going to go with the Trojans.
All right, it's one for Tri-Center. And, I think I'm with you here. This is one of those games, you know, Sydney had actually petitioned to stay playing eight-man football this year. It was some of the way the districting got melded together that, you know, they were forced to move up and they didn't win their petition to stay playing eight-man. So they're playing 11-man football. And they've hung tough in their first couple of games. But this is one of those games, I think, where that starts to show up a little bit and where they just don't have the numbers and the horses to keep up with a good established program like Tri-Center has. And Tri-Center's been getting it going through the air. They put up 452 yards already from Jackson Johnson in the pass game, and they'll be able to do more of that here, I think, this week on the road. So I'm going to go with Tri-Center to get a win as well. Jim?
Yeah, but momentum dies real quick when you throw seven interceptions, and that's one thing that Johnson's also done. So, you know, you get a team you think you can beat, don't give them opportunities. So cut down on that. I think they'll be fine, but we all know how difficult it is to go to Sydney and play down at that place. So, but I'm going to take Tri-Center on the road.
All right, that's three for the Trojans. Doug?
Yeah, the Cowboys definitely can mix up their offense a little bit. They can run the ball and pass it. But I just think Tri-Center's talent overall is going to wear them out.
All right, so we're going to go Tri-Center across the board in that one. Got another game here out of that district in Class A District 9, and this actually will be a broadcast game here this week as we're going to head over to Oakland. And the Riverside Bulldogs, off to 2-0 start, will play host to St. Albert, who is, maybe surprisingly, 0-2. And I guess I get first crack here at this one. I don't really want first crack here at this one. This has become a pretty interesting game, and a big game now for Riverside in the district, I think, when they look at it. They've played well here early on. Of course, you know, maybe their competition obviously drastically different from what St. Albert has played here so far. But that one was a little bit surprising last week for the Falcons. Just didn't get much going at all there against Logan Magnolia, and Loma got up early in that game and just kind of kept the ball rolling, held him off. You know, you look across the board and you see some of the names for St. Albert, Cy Patterson, Connor Cherney. You just think that some of those guys eventually they're going to figure something out a little bit. Riverside has been able to do it in both phases of the game, though. Austin Krumkowski's done a good job stepping in as quarterback. Rhett Bentley has stepped into that running back role and already racked up five scores. And you know that they're going to play tough defense. Coach Frayne's going to put that bug in their ear. And they always seem to give St. Albert fits. Over the last 5 years or so, they've had some good games between these two teams. It's been pretty interesting to watch these guys battle. I'm a little torn because, it's hard to see St. Albert going 0-3 to start the season. And Riverside, you know, with the confidence they built early, I know that they're going to make this a game. This will be a fun one. I'm going to give Riverside a chance here. I think they might pull another one off here. This is a team, again, like I said, they've given fits. So I'm going to go Riverside here at home. Jim?
What game are you doing tonight?
Riverside and St. Albert.
Okay. So you've been studying this a lot then. So I should probably go the way you suggest. Riverside has lost the last eight, though, at least to St. Albert. That's all I could find was the last eight times they played. And a couple of them had some pretty high scores. They were kind of shootouts, but none of them were particularly close. I don't know. This is one of those frustrating ones. I'm going to go with St. Albert. Don't ask me why. I'm going to go with St. Albert.
All right. One there for the Falcons. Doug.
I won't ask you why then.
Okay. I won't. Thank you.
I like Riverside. I like the way they spread the ball around a little bit. They got a running back that can run the ball well. Their quarterback's also a threat, not only in the passing game, in the running game, I think, as well. They definitely don't have the competition that St. Albert has played. I mean, you know, their first week against LC actually stayed a lot closer than I thought they might against LC. Don't know what to think about the Lomaux game. I guess we'll see how Lomaux plays the rest of the year. But, yeah, it would be shocking to see St. Albert going 0-3, but I think they will.
All right. A couple there for the Bulldogs. Matt?
Yeah, this is definitely – I mean, you've got a good ball game here because to broadcast, definitely teams – you know, with their records and who they've played, it's still kind of yet to be sorted out. But, you know, tonight starts that district play. And from here on out, you know, all these games are going to, you know, count towards those district standings and championships. So this will be an interesting opening game for both teams. With this being at home for Riverside, I think that's going to be a big advantage for them. And you're kind of getting to the point of the season where also momentum can start to come into play. You know, how well is St. Albert going to, you know, react coming off of that that game, that loss last week to Loma, who they probably thought they matched up fairly well with. So, yeah, this is definitely a tough one in here where it's going to be. So I'm going to go which direction? Ah, this is the one on the sheet here that I just wasn't quite sure of. So I'm going to go with St. Albert.
All right.
You know, they brought Coach Chicolone out of retirement, and he's helping with the down there a little bit as a volunteer. So I'm gonna go with the Falcons.
All right.
Split final answer. How's that for a reason?
There you
go.
Yeah,
you bet.
Good reason. All right. So we'll split that one up there, two each on that one as well. So we got some variety going on here early in the show this week. Let's go to a Class 2A District 9 contest. This here at Atlantic's district, this is going to be another district that's going to be pretty interesting to sort out by the time it's all said and done. We've got a couple of 2-0 teams meeting up here. Shenandoah goes on the road to take on Des Moines Christian. Jim, you get first crack here at this one.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say about this game is I wish Des Moines Christian would rush the ball more. That way we could call them Run DMC. Wow. But they do throw the ball a fair amount, and I just think they're a better ball club than Shenandoah. So and that's like the longest drive in the state. I mean, going all the way from the far corner.
This within your district.
Yeah, within your district, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Des Moines Christian, the Lions.
All right. Doug?
Well, you know, a pretty good start this year for Shenandoah. I'm sure it's been a while since they've started the season 2-0. You know, they... I agree with Mr. Field, because I think although Shenandoah is 2-0, I don't think they have the talent to hang with Des Moines Christian. So I'm going to take them. Des Moines Christian? What's their
Lions?
Lions. Yeah.
Lions. I'm going to take the Lions.
All right, it's two there for Des Moines Christian. Matt.
Yeah, I think Shenandoah, as the season progresses, you're going to see them as probably one of the teams that have kind of turned it in the right direction for them, you know, a very improved team going down the road. But as far as tonight's game against Des Moines Christian, I don't see that happening. Des Moines Christian is just too much power for them. So I'll take the Lions as well at home.
All right. That's three there for Des Moines Christian. Yeah, they started off with, you know, traditionally you look at the schedule, it would be two pretty big wins. They knocked off Pillar Christian the opening week and then beat Sheraton and a shutout last week, so they've started off on the right foot. I think both those teams a little down traditionally to what they normally are as well. But Jackson Withers has done a good job through the air, put up pretty good numbers. The thing I noticed, too, is they've got a lot of guys that they like to spread it out to. They have 8 different receivers already that have recorded a catch this year, so it'll be kind of tough for Shenandoah to really focus and slow anybody down. Zane Zwickel's done a pretty good job to start the year efficient-wise for Shenandoah at the quarterback spot, but, yeah, I think the horse is just going to be a little bit short in this one, so I'm going to take Des Moines Christian as well. We'll go with the Lions across the board. One more game here before we take a break. We'll go to Class 3A District 9, and it's Carroll, who's 1-1, going on the road to take on Dennison Schleswig, who started the season off here 0-2. And, Doug, you get first crack here.
Well, I think... you know, points could be in short supply here tonight. I don't think they have, neither team appears to be generating a whole lot of offense. Not a lot of firepower there, but the Carroll Tigers do have a quarterback by the name of Slade Siebenaller. And that is a pretty cool name. So I'm sure that's going to lead them to victory.
Okay. Solid logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One for Carol. Matt?
Well, you know, this is just an interesting game. Carol's got the COVID kind of running through their school. So they've been down some players in their lineup, up and down their lineup in there. So I'm going to have to go with Dennis and Schleswig. I think they kind of came into the season as a respectable team coming in. You're starting district play here tonight again. So, you know, the road to the dome starts for everybody. So, you know, I just think that Dennis and Schleswig, they've, you know, they played kind of a tough schedule here up front. So I'm going to go with them and just not sure who Carroll's going to have available this week.
All right. Yeah, they've had pretty big numbers running through the school, unfortunately, and had to deal with some of that. And we've got to split it up here so far. And, yeah, this is an interesting game. Both teams, I kind of wrote, where's the offense? You got to figure out how you're going to get something going. I saw a note last week that loss Carol had to Webster City was their worst loss since sometime in the 1970s. So it's been a long time since they've been beat up that bad. Like they did last week, but it's against a good team. Of course, you know, when you have that kind of stuff going on, when you don't know who's in, who's out, I'm sure it's really tough to try to get prepared and ready to go. Dennis and Schleswig's played some tough teams to start the season as well, and they've kind of taken on the chin their first couple of contests, lost one pretty handily to their dispenser last week. I'm a little torn. I guess I'm kind of with Matt here, just with the question marks of, you know, how things are going and who's available for Carroll. Dennis and Schleswig has been able to put up a little bit more offense in their couple of games here so far this year, and being at home certainly helps. I'm going to go with the Monarchs as well. Jim?
Well, Carroll's win was a 7-0 win over Bondurant Farrar, because, of course, you know, in high school football, someone has to win. There are no ties. I'm guessing that's the only reason somebody won that game. There were 213 total yards combined between the two teams. I'm not sure the parents sat through all of that game. That's a tough game.
Couple trips.
It would have been a seriously. It would have been a tough game to watch because there was, unless you love defense, because there was almost no offense whatsoever. Yeah, Denison's 0-2, but they played pretty decent competition. They battled hard against Abraham Lincoln, who's getting a little bit of love in the large school class as far as the voting goes for rankings. I think Denison at home wins this one.
All right, we're going to leave Doug out on a limb there with Carol. I don't know. We won't be a shocker if either team wins, but should be a good matchup there. We've got a couple more games here to finish off the sheet here after we take a quick break. This is Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, certified public accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Hey, Nick, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Becky, this week we have Mr. Dell's Hash Browns, $1.77 each, Fairway Butter, $2.48 each, and Honeycrisp Apples, $1.48 a pound. Over in the meat department, we have boneless skinless chicken breasts for $1.99 a pound, USDA Choice shoulder tenders, $5.99 a pound, and boneless butterfly pork chops, $1.99 a pound. See all the details and more great deals in this week's ad. And as always, thank you for shopping your Atlantic Fairway.
All right, welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we head to a couple more contests here on our sheet. And we're going to go to another game here in Class 3A District 9, a team that certainly has a lot of swagger right now is the Harlan Cyclones. They've started off 2-0 against two top 10 ranked teams, and they're going to do it again here this week because Glenwood's just jumped into the poll here this week. Depending on what poll you look at, either number 7 or number 10, Harlan right up there at the number 2 spot there in Class 3A. So this will be an interesting contest, and let's see, is it Matt who gets first crack here at this one? What do you think?
Yeah, well, right out of the gates, a big matchup in that 3A District 9, which we know knew coming into the season that was going to be a real tough district to come out of. But, of course, obviously everybody's making the playoffs this year here. But anyway, you know, there's still that district title. So, yeah, Harlan's got two big victories right out of the gate. They've kind of stuck to the air here mostly. So it'll be interesting to see how they get it done. Glenwood's done it a little more balanced in there. This is a tough one because Harlan is definitely battle tested in here. I'm going to, if you would have probably asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said Glenwood, but I'm going to go with Harlan.
All right, it's one there for the Cyclones. Yep. Yeah, this is another good game. Glenwood, yeah, this is one you kind of would have liked to seen at the end of the season, I think, just the way if you give Glenwood a little bit more time to get everything gelled together. Brock Sells starting to figure it out at quarterback. They need to find some other weapons. I think they're looking for that run game, and who's going to kind of step up and do that for them. Of course, you've got a great target out there in Ryan Bloom that they can look to in the pass game, but Harlan's already proven that they can go up against tough teams and still produce, and they've really put it through the air here early in the year. Tegan Kasperbauer has been doing a pretty good job. Aiden Hall racking up a ton of yards in the receiving game there for the Cyclones. And their defense, we knew was going to be tough coming into the year, and that certainly helped them win those first tough two games against Grinnell and Pella. I'm with Matt here. I think my tone would have been different a couple weeks ago. Just a little bit inexperienced still left out there for Glenwood to figure out. So I'm going to give the edge to the home team in Harlan. Jim?
All right. Well, that Harlan-Pella game was just sloppy. No other way to put it. What, it was like 6-7 turnovers between the two teams. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Nobody wanted to move the football. They moved the football. They just didn't want to finish with the football. But, you know, just looking defensively, though, too, Harlan's allowing an awful lot. And Glenwood, remember what I mentioned earlier about Southwest Valley averaging 11 tackles for loss per game? They played three games. Glenwood's got 27-2. That's a lot. They're getting behind. They're hitting guys behind the line of scrimmage. And Brock Sell, hey, I'm sold. I think he's going to make it. I think this kid's going to do something. I'm going to go with Glenwood. I think Glenwood's played some pretty tough matchups, even in losses in recent years against Harlan. I don't think they're. I don't think they stare at him when they come out on the field like some teams like too. So I think Glenwood's going to win this one on the road.
All right, that's one there for the Rams. Yeah, that mood I think with Coach Foss has certainly changed a little bit. But Doug, what do you like?
Well, we're putting Jim on a limb for sure. I'm taking Harlan at home. Had him, you know, last week, I think, or 2 weeks. I don't know. I won a limb pick with Harlan.
Yeah, first week, yeah.
First week. So, you know, I just I like what they – you know, we none of us knew what we talked about, not knowing where Harlan was going to have their offense going because they lost a stud quarterback from last year. But they seem – this Kasperbauer kid seems to be really able to sling the ball around. Over 600 yards passing, does have a tendency, as Jim said, to maybe turn the ball over. 6 touchdowns, but 5 interceptions. So if he can cut down on that, and they, you know, they have a couple running backs that have over 100 yards total. So, you know, I think Harlan's, I like them at home.
All right. It's going to leave Jim out there with a limb pick there with Glenwood. Going to go to our final game here of the week, and Atlantic will get district play started in Class 2A District 9 on the road as they'll go on to take on Greene County. A couple 1-1 squads, and I guess I get first look here at this one as we take a glance now at the Trojans. And I like the way Atlantic played last week. Looked real good there on the road against Kemper Catholic. Made a big difference getting those two guys back in the backfield. Bodie Johnson, Corey Parrott both had good games, you know, did what they needed to, came in and got the job done on the ground, and especially Bodie with a couple of those early tough, hard runs. That first touchdown, I think, kind of set the tone on how tough the Trojans wanted to play in that game, and he looked good doing it. Greene County, a team that has mixed it up a little bit. Bryce Stalder has done a good job throwing the ball around. Been pretty efficient, hasn't turned the ball over much yet. They've got a couple of different receivers they like to look at as well. This is a tough team always at home, and they've, you know, been traditionally tough here these past few years. But I don't know. I think Atlantic's got a little mojo going here after that win last week, and this is, I think, a similar type of team that they're going to play. Maybe a little bit more talent out there for Greene County, but I'm going to go with the Trojans here to pick one up on the road. Jim?
Yeah, it's kind of an awkward place to go play just because we don't have a lot of history there. And we honestly, since we started playing them, we haven't had great history there either. But, yeah, I did get a chance to watch a good chunk of the Atlantic game last week on KJAN TV. And I was impressed. Well, those announcers are awesome, too. I tell you what.
Enjoyable. But
enjoyable. But Atlantic looked good. I mean, they took the opening kickoff, had a long, sustained drive, put points on the board. You know, they put couple of touchdowns on the board early and really took Kemper Catholic out. It's kind of just beat them down early on. Yeah, they gained some yards, but Atlantic made the plays when they had to, and they just kept running clock, just taking time off. I thought that was fun to watch. I was really pleased watching them last week, and I like to think they can do that again this week, so I'm going to take Atlantic.
All right, couple for the Trojans. Doug?
I like Trojans, too. They definitely showed me something last week. Again, as you mentioned, Chris, getting the kids back there in the backfield that can, you know, maybe not break a 60- or 70-yard run like we've had recently, but good hard runners, you know, just ground, you know, grind the ball. I think they had 75 yards apiece, something like that, yeah. Rushing. So I like that ability to control the ball, and I'm going to take the Trojans on the road.
All right, 3 for Atlantic. Matt?
Well, I'm going to take the Trojans as well this week. Yeah, again, kind of came out and dictated the tempo from the beginning, and Jim likes that run game in there, so, you know, they kind of went to Jim's side there and went with the run game and just controlled the tempo. And yeah, you're right, you're going to see a lot of similar situations from Greene County this week. They definitely like to load up with 3 receivers on one side and leave a lone receiver on the short side of the field in there, and they'll try to get the edge again with those option reads and everything like that. The quarterback with his run pass option as well. So, yeah, it'll be secondary is going to have to beef it up here a little bit this week. It's going to kind of be on them to see if they can control that passing game and force them to run, because they're just not probably as sound at the run game that they've been in the past. But, you know, they lost 25 seniors as well, you know, Greene County did, that have been important for their development the last couple of years as a program. So, but I'm still going to go with the Trojans on the road.
All right, Trojans across the board. And, yeah, maybe a big part of that, too, was, you know, how it was done last week for Atlantic. You like to see those long, sustained drives where you're just able to control the ball game, and that's what they did there against Kemper. So we're all going to take the Trojans there. Hey, we got to pick our tiebreaker.
Oh, wait,
Iowa,
yeah.
Iowa State.
That
oh
is,
wait,
it is
oh
the week.
Wait, oh wait, they're not playing.
One of them is not.
One of them is.
Would it be Kevin Warren versus Bob Bowlesby?
What game do we go with?
Yeah, I don't know. We're gonna have to figure that one out along the way here. So
we came and picked Drake. Are you and I?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we're gonna be searching for a tough one here. I don't know. And figure it out. Maybe if I don't know what the timeline is for Mr. Duggan, if he gets back in the lineup just because he's from the area. We do Iowa State, TCU. We'll have to figure something out here.
We could do whoever Nebraska schedules once they leave the country. Oh, wait, they're not going to do that now. I forgot.
Wait a week. They'll change their mind. All right, that's going to do it for week number 3 here on Who's Going to Win. We don't have that fun of the extra tiebreak game. We'll figure that out down the road. We want to thank Rush CPA and Associates, and also we want to thank Fairway for helping you bring Who's Going to Win here this week. Stay tuned. We've got Class A District 9 game coming up. Mike Smith will join me for the broadcast. St. Albert is on the road at Riverside. We'll have it here on KJN, KJN TV. Thanks for joining us here for Who's Going to Win.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Hey, Nick, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Becky, this week we have Mr. Dell's Hash Browns, $1.77 each, Fairway Butter, $2.48 each, and Honey Crisp Apples, $1.48 a pound. Over in the meat department, we have Boneless Skinless Chicken Breast for $1.99 a pound, USDA Choice Shoulder Tenders, $5.99 a pound, and Boneless Butterfly Pork Chops, $1.99 a pound. See all the details and more great deals in this week's ad. And as always, thank you for shopping your Atlantic Fairway.